to turn your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter 3. We'll read verse 1 through 6. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges, and the treasurers and the counselors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, and the harp, and the sabbath, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso faileth not, who falleth not down and worship, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Pray with me right now, Lord. We love you, praise you, Lord God. I ask you, Lord, right now, Lord, to break, Lord, these bonds that are in this house tonight. Lord God, I ask you, Lord, right now, Lord, to break these chains, Lord, that are holding people back from worshiping you, that are holding people back, Lord God, from ministering in this house tonight. God, help us right now, speak to our hearts. God, I want your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight when dealing with the pressures of our society. Don't fear the fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every day, folks, we deal with the pressures of our society. These Hebrew boys, these Hebrew children experienced tremendous pressure from society to bow down and worship the golden image. Come on, do you feel the pressure? Come on, do you feel the pressure from whatever source it may be? Maybe news media, maybe it's your coworkers. Come on, they tell you you're crazy for believing what you believe and holding to what you believe and standing for what you believe. Come on, society has a way of doing that, doesn't it? Amen. These Hebrew children, they felt that. They felt the pressure to bow down to an image that they were told to worship who was not their God. Well, come on, everybody's doing it. But by choosing not to give in, they were facing not only rejection, they were facing death. You see, we are confronted with daily influences from our society, and the wrong pressure can cause us to make bad choices in our lives. I said the pressure can cause us to make choices that aren't good. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed." That word conformed means fashioned. Amen? Be not conformed or be not fashioned to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to think different, folks, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformation begins with a proper attitude. Hear me tonight, folks. You can't carry the same old attitude that you grew up with. You got to get a new, different attitude. Hey, man, you got to change your way of thinking. Hey, man, you can't have an attitude that says authority is going to tell me what to do. A proper attitude. If you want transformation in your life, get a proper attitude. Amen. Our action, folks, our action, the way we do things, the way we live, it speaks, it should correspond with God's will. Do your actions, the things that you do, are they pleasing to God? These three Hebrew children believed that God would deliver them, but even if God wouldn't, they still wouldn't do anything that would be outside of God's will for their life. You see, as apostolics, I believe, we must avoid giving in to pressure our society places on us. Oh, you're crazy listening to the prophets. Why? Why are we crazy listening to prophets? Anybody? Why are we crazy listening to prophets? Let me tell you something. Just because, amen, something happened, amen, that didn't come, you think should have came through on a certain day, does not mean that prophet's wrong. Oh, everybody's turning on them now. We like to have prophets, but when it doesn't happen when we think it should, you going to turn on them? I'm believing them. I choose to believe them. You tell me they gave you a date? Let me tell you, you don't put anything on time on God. It happens in God's time. I said it happens in God's time. Amen. That was free. You see, folks, these boys, they believed God would deliver them. But even if he doesn't going to believe them, deliver them, they still not going to do anything to go against their God. They're still not going to do things they know they shouldn't do. And I believe as apostolics, we ought to have a attitude about us that says, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to serve for God, even if it's not popular. I ask you tonight, church, where do you draw the line? You see, what line won't you cross? And what won't you do that everybody else is doing? See, if you have not drawn a line, hear me tonight. If you have not drawn a line in your life, you have done things that you did that you did not intend to do. If you don't have a line. Now we know people, they'll draw a line in the sand and somebody will confront them and they'll back up a little bit and draw another line. Oh, and they get a little bit more pressure, we'll back up. Hey, don't cross this line. Come on, I'm telling you, if you will not draw a line in the sand, then you have done things that you did not intend to do. And you're disappointed in yourself and you know that God is disappointed in you. You know your pastor's disappointed in you? We have to draw a line. The culture of society today will, if you let them, folks, they will take you where you do not want to go. Now I ask you, how many of you, maybe you begin watching a movie or a show and suddenly, without warning, the movie takes you to a place of being uncomfortable. And maybe it was more than you wanted to see or more than you wanted to hear. Do you turn the movie off and wait and hope that it gets better? Or do you turn a blind eye to what you know isn't right? The Holy Ghost tells you that you should not be watching it. Amen. You see, folks, we have all been to that place. Amen. And I'm asking tonight, folks, that we draw a line and say, hey, devil, don't cross that line because I am not going to bow down to your image. I'm not going to bow down to your peer pressure. Just how many times have you crossed the line of being comfortable? Or how many times have you crossed the line of being uncomfortable? You see, Daniel, folks, he was a man of God. Hallelujah. The whole book of Daniel shows his godly character. Daniel had a heart for God, and he was not going to let the overtaking of Jerusalem by the Babylonians to change who he was. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he took the spoils and some of the royal family and some of those people that were smart and the elite and the young and good-looking men. He trained them to be Babylonians. He taught them the language. He taught them the Babylonian culture. And they were treated well. But the catch was that they had to serve the Babylonian king. Daniel was offered a good life. If he followed the rules of the world and did as he was told, Daniel could not eat though what they brought to him. They brought to him the meat that was offered to idols and he said, I cannot eat that. It did not set well with him. You see, it was okay for all the world, but it wasn't okay for Daniel. Come on. Daniel says, I can't do it. Daniel convinced the guard in charge of him that his God would keep him better if he did not eat the sacrifice food. Daniel said, hey, come on, guard. He said, let me eat my food. Let me eat these vegetables. And after 10 days, see if I am not stronger and healthier than those who ate the sacrificed food. Daniel, because of his faithfulness to his God, folks, God looks down on the faithfulness of that man. After blessing him, he looked so much better after that 10 days than the rest of them. And God was blessing him. And I'm telling you tonight, folks, when we take a stand, your God is looking to bless you. Daniel, because of his faithfulness, God used him. God gives Daniel a chance to interpret a dream that no one else could interpret for the king. You see, folks, the anointing of God was on his life. The king elevates Daniel to a high ruler in Babylon. And then the king, for a moment, also believes in Daniel's God. Hallelujah. Surely, Daniel, your God is God of gods. Surely, Daniel, your God is Lord of kings. Surely, Daniel, your God is a revealer of mysteries. Then the king here, folks, he's kind of like those people that receive blessings from God, and then they soon forget who God is. Daniel, with his power, he elevates his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to service to the king. Folks, do you know that following God is not for the faint of heart? You didn't hear me tonight. I said, do you know that following God is not for the faint of heart? And when serving God, I want you to understand there will be roadblocks. There will be haters that come around you that don't like you because you don't act like the world. You act different. So let me ask you a question tonight. Are you going to bow down and worship a man-made idol or face the consequences of your actions? See, that is the decision these three boys had to make. And one we have to make also today, folks. We need to say in our lives, I am not bowing down to the pressures of this world. The time came for all to bow. The music was playing. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They looked at each other. They said, I'm not bowing. They wouldn't bow. And these boys, these Hebrew boys, they were determined beforehand. You see, they had a made up mind. They didn't just come upon the situation and say, and get in a huddle and say, what should we do? I'm telling you, they had a mind made up. Amen. Maybe when they fell down at an apostolic altar. Amen. I don't know what it was, but somehow, somewhere in their life, they made up their minds. We are not going to give in to peer pressure. We're not going to give in to people making us want to do this because we're the only ones that won't do it. I'm telling you, they folks, they looked at each other. And they said, I'm sticking to it. They were not going to go against their God. You see, the haters and those that were jealous of them, they begin to take notice. And they talk to the king in Daniel 3, verse 12. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the providence, O king, O Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you. O king, they pay no attention to you. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you have set up. King Nebuchadnezzar, folks, began to get furious that they would not bow down. In Daniel 3, 14 and 15, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, it is true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the image of gold I have set up. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, and the lyre, and the harp, and the pipes, and all the kinds of music, if you are all ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? What a challenge. You see, the king liked these old boys. He didn't want to put them in furnace. But the king was duped by his evil leaders. And now he needs to stand on his decree, which said, bow or die. And they were ready to give an answer. I like their answer. They were ready to give an answer. Are you ready to give an answer, folks? Are you ready to give an answer for what will happen to them? Do you believe you're going to be facing things? You may be here tonight. You're already facing stuff. Maybe these last few weeks or so, you've been really uncomfortable with things. Maybe there's some things that just hit you right in the stomach and made you sick. There's a lot of events going on in this world today, folks. And sometimes it's hitting us hard. But are you ready to give an account for what might happen to you? Daniel 3, 16 through 18. I love this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar," I love this, "we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." Woo-hoo! Come on. Maybe there's family members putting pressure on you. You listen here, cousin. I don't need to answer you. Maybe it's your neighbors. Listen here, neighbor. I don't need to answer you. Or your boss at work. I don't need to answer you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to save us from it. And He will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if He does not, come on, hallelujah. Even if He does not, we want you to know this, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. These boys, folks, they drew a line. We will serve you, King. We will do what you ask us to do. But do not ask us to go against our God. King, there is nothing that you can do to us that would make us bow to another God or disrespect our God. You see, the king came. He became furious with them. He orders the furnace heated 7 times hotter. And the guards that carried them were killed. Amen. You see, the king has lost control. He had them bound hand and foot. They were thrown in the fire. And when the king, he goes over to check out his handiwork. And he looks in there and he sees unbound walking around in the furnace. And he looks to his men. Were there not 3? Yes, O King, there was 3. Well, I see 4. Come on, folks. They are unharmed and looks like one is the son of God. He tells them, amen, he is unharmed, untouched, and did not smell like smoke. Folks, let me tell you tonight, what God will not bring you out of, He will be with you in the fire. He will be with you. Isaiah 43 and verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames, hear me tonight, will not set you ablaze. I'm telling you, that's our God, folks. Don't let the pressure come at you. See, you cannot watch God do something supernatural. Hear me tonight. How many want God to use you? Is there anybody here who wants, come on, are you apostolic in this house tonight? Let me tell you this. You cannot watch God do something supernatural until you make a stand, until you draw a line and allow God to be God in your life. You will miss the blessings until you are in the same side as the Lord. You go ahead, you keep fighting the things God wants you to do. You keep giving your pastor a hard time. You keep giving your youth leader a hard time or your Sunday school teacher. Amen. You will not receive the blessings of God that He wants to bless you with. It's about time some apostolic said, hey, it's time I get on board. You go ahead and live for God the way you want to live and see how well that works out for you. I said, you'll do it God's way or you'll do it God's way. You need to say, well, God, what does your word say to me? Not what you think the word ought to say. Come on. When the three Hebrew boys said, no matter if he saves us or not, we will not bow to this man's man-made God, and we will not disrespect our God. Amen. Then God did the supernatural after they made a stand. You see, the only thing, hear me tonight, and I said earlier, there seems like some little resistance in this place. I'm telling you not to be afraid of the fire. You see, we know there's a lot of stuff going on, and we're trying to do our best to live for God right now. Come on, I'm feeling the presence of the Holy Ghost in this house right now. Hear me, folks. Come on, don't pay attention to your kids. Listen to me. God, the only thing that burned in this furnace was the ties that bound them. Come on, there's some things that are binding us here tonight in this church. And folks, let me tell you, the only thing you're going to get rid of them is when you allow God to take you to the fire. Oh, God. It's too often, folks, we come up with all this persecution. You don't think it wasn't persecution for them to stand outside there when all that music was going on and everybody's bowing all around of them and somebody's tugging on the rope saying, get out here with us. That's peer pressure. We've been feeling that kind of peer pressure. Come on, we're feeling it. We're feeling it. Hey, you're crazy if you don't think like we do. The news media will tell you if you don't think like them and you don't celebrate with them, you're nuts. You're a fanatic. You're a rebel. And then they come over there. They're yanked up by the guards. I'm talking peer pressure here, folks. We're all feeling it. And they're yanking them. They're dragging them up to the king. And then their accusers are standing there, king, these guys, they don't want to bow down to your music. They don't want to bow down and worship your image. I'm talking peer pressure. When we feel that, oh, God, help us. God, help us. We're dragged up in front of the furnace. Oh, God, deliver me from that furnace. What did they say before? They looked at each other. I'm not bowing. And the king says, hey, boys, you didn't bow. Hey, king, we don't need to answer to you. Come on. Do you tell your coworkers? You can think what you want. I'm believing God. I believe God's going to do a miracle in this end time. I believe God's going to do something great, don't you? Now, let me just be straight with you. I think God's going to do some mighty works here. He's going to blow our minds. Because it ain't over. What we've seen in this political arena is a joke. But it ain't over, folks. Now, you can sit here and you can have whatever attitude you want. I don't care. I believe God is God and He's in control. I believe prophets and I believe other things that I'm watching. But you can go ahead. Oh, God, deliver me from the fire. But I'm telling you tonight, don't be afraid of the fire. Because I'm telling you, folks, there's some things that can happen in the fire. Amen? Amen? That will change your life. You will come out a different person. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, King, we don't need to answer you, but let me tell you something. We're not going to bow down to your idol. And God will deliver us, and if He does not deliver us, I'm still not going to bow. Is there some apostolics in the room tonight? Hallelujah. The only thing that burned in the furnace, folks, and I'm telling you, was the binds, the ropes that were on them. They burned off in the furnace. I think there's some apostolics in this house. There's some things that are binding you. And it's time to let God put you in the furnace to get rid of some things. Don't be afraid of the fire. It'll only make you better. Come on. Hallelujah. The only way to get pure gold is to be put in the fire. Hallelujah. The Lord will set you free in the fire tonight. You see, the storms and the trials may put us in the fire, but the storms cannot hold you there. Come on. Listen to me tonight. The same King that said in Daniel 3:15, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? That same King, guess what else he said in Daniel 3:29? For no other God can save in this way. I'm telling you folks, when you go through the fire, there may be some family members that always run you down, always said you don't care about family. Amen. There may be some workers that said you're a maniac, you're an idiot, you belong to a cult. There may be some neighbors that don't want to talk to you, but I'm telling you, they're going to see some things. When you go through the fire and there's some things loosed in your life, they're going to say no other God can serve like that. No other God. There are people that you're around, they're bound, folks. They're bound with all kinds of things in their life. And they need to see some apostolics loosed. The same King that made a decree that no prayer was allowed for 30 days and worship me. I am so sick of mandates, I'm about ready to puke. There's the same King that says that he is making a decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will be killed. What a change. All of a sudden, there's no God that can do the things like your God does. I'm telling you folks, if you can't stand up to the peer pressure in this time, what are you going to do in the time to come? I'm telling you, we need to be apostolic. Come on. My God is on my side. Is there anybody with me tonight? God is on my side. Hallelujah. Same King that says he is making a decree that anybody of any nation or language or anything against God who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be killed. And I'm telling you, what a change. But folks, it takes God's people standing strong, drawing a line and not letting anybody move us or drag us across the finish line. Let me tell you something. We have to be in it if you want to win it. Come on, what do you want to win tonight? Come on, is there anybody you want to see saved? You got to be in it to win it, folks. Is there anybody you in your family that needs God worse than you do? You got to be in it to win it. We apostolics, we need to know and we need to acknowledge and we need to live a life as an example. Amen. That our God is superior in any other man-made God and that he will do what he said he will do. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And he says, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You see, this world that we live in, the God that we serve, he is able to save us from this world. Come on. Come on. Don't give in to this nonsense. I'm sorry, folks. I don't care. If you don't like it, there's the door. I said, folks, amen, God is able to deliver us. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He's able to save it. You believe it? If this world tries to get a grip on you. But see, even if he doesn't deliver you. So we're afraid of our feelings getting hurt. Well, you said this. You said that. So what? Yeah, I might have said that. But see, I'm on God's timetable. He ain't on mine. Even if he doesn't, just know that he will not, that I will not serve. I will not bow to your peer pressure. I will not serve your gods. I will not serve the image that you have set up, O King. Folks, don't ever think that God is finished with you. He's never finished with you. We get finished with God, but he's never finished with you. What do you mean, Pastor? Come on. Hey, God wants to take you to higher places in him. But he can't if you're going to let the things of the world hold you down. If you're going to let the peer pressure hold you back. Daniel and these Hebrew boys, they were still serving God and they were still making a difference. They were in captivity because the world views. But the world, folks, did not have their allegiance. God had their allegiance. Whatever stage of life you are in, it is never too late to serve the Lord and allow him to use you. Sister Karen, you're never too old for God to use you. She knows that too, folks. I don't have to tell her that. She's praying every day, God, use me. She probably outworked many of you. They were in captivity because of the world views. This world wants to put all kinds of views on you and tell you what to think and how to think and who to talk to, who not to talk to, how far close you should stand to somebody, how what you should look like, what you should wear. They want to put all kinds of views on you. But the world did not have their allegiance. God has my allegiance. So I ask you tonight, are you in it to win it? Are you in it to win it? You hear me then? Then you must be determined that you are in it with the Lord all the way, whatever happens. Then you will see the glory of God walk into your life, work in your life, use you in your life. Folks, the world makes good offers. But if you lose your soul for the world, what good is it? Don't worry about fame and fortune. Worry about eternity. Hear me tonight, folks. The Hebrew boys would not let possessions. They were offered. They were given all kinds of stuff. They were given positions and fancy robes. They were given honor, folks. But it didn't take them away from their God. You better be careful what your job offers you. Try to keep you out of the house of God. You better be careful when your family pressures you to be at a party when you know you should be in the house of God. Don't give in to their pressures. Come on, you need to worry about eternity. You better show your kids what's important in life. Come on. Those things are just material treasures. Hey man, they had all the kind of stuff they wanted. But compared to eternity, they wanted to store up treasures in heaven. Earthly things you cannot take with you. Do not neglect God's wrath or judgment. We don't like that, do we, folks? We don't like wrath. We don't like judgment. But there are not any messages that the world is speaking. The world does not speak righteousness to you. The world does not teach you to be self-control. You see, not many messages about things to come. The only thing they want to talk to you about is right now. You need to enjoy life now. That's what the world wants to tell you. Folks, no revival, hear me tonight, no revival has ever started without people realizing the judgment of God is coming. Serving God is not for the faint of heart. It is for the determined, the ones that are willing to draw a line in the sand, the ones that are willing to say, this is the line, I will not cross it, and these are the things I will not do. When we understand God's righteousness, it will bring us to a love and a relationship like you've never had before. Amen. It takes God's love and mercy in and for our life. And it takes our willingness to serve him without hesitation, without compromise. These boys, They were examples. Amen. It was something we should aspire for us today. We should desire to see God do something supernatural again and bring God's people out of the fire to serve Him with all of our hearts. That should be our hope. That should be our encouragement today, to see how God was there for these young men. Amen. How God stood with them. Hallelujah. How God delivered them in the fire. Come on, folks. I think we ought to desire that more than anything. We ought to say, God, if you can do it for these Hebrew boys, you can do it for me. Let me tell you the difference between them and us. And sometimes maybe it ought to make us ashamed. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. We do. Come on. They didn't have it. And they still stood for God. They still trusted their God. That should be our hope and our encouragement. That God will find us faithful in spite of the fiery furnace we experience in our walk with God. I'm talking about the fire experience, the things sometimes that really, really come down hard on us. That sometimes we want to shy away from, folks, that fiery furnace. They could not criticize these boys for the work that they did for the king. They did a good job for the king. He liked them. He didn't want to put them in the furnace, but he had to because he made a decree. He couldn't go back on his word. You see, but they couldn't criticize the people that came and said, look here, O king, they won't do this and this and this. They won't bow to your image. They couldn't say, well, they don't do a good job. Because they work good. So what they did is they attacked their faith. You ever have anybody attack your faith? Oh, you think you're a good Christian? You guys are supposed to be Christians. You act like this. You won't do this. You won't do that. You'll do this. You'll do that. But you won't do this for me. Come on. They want to attack your faith. You see, this world is changing. And the reality is, folks, we are not living in a Christian society. We are living in a society that is willing to worship anyone or anything but God. And years ago, people used to respect Christians, even if they themselves were not. But not today. Folks, they may take the Ten Commandments out of their government. They may take the prayer and Ten Commandments out of the school and the public buildings. But they put their approval on things that God would even question. The world may do that. But amen, that does not mean that you have to. Daniel had his lion's den. The three boys had their fire. But folks, you and I today, amen, we have to make up our minds that we will not defile the things of God. And we need to draw a line that says this is it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they lived righteous lives. Yet things did not go well for them. Oh God, you know I go to church. And oh God, I pay my tithes and I do this. Why is all this happening to me? Boys, they lived for God. They did not defile the things of God. They had their mind made up, but things didn't go well for them, did it? They encountered evil, but rather than succumb like everybody else around them, they challenged their situation. At first, folks, at first matters only became worse, but in the end, they came out smelling like roses. You see, folks, life isn't easy, and sometimes it deals you a rotten hand, but I'm telling you tonight, do not give in to the weight of it all. You can find hope in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because what you need, your miracle that you need, is in the fire. Is there anybody here who needs a miracle tonight? I'm telling you, your miracle is in the fire. See, these boys, these three Hebrew boys, they were persuaded. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one thing is apparent. They were fully persuaded. Nothing could make them bow to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. No threats, no consequences, no punishment. They were fully persuaded of the promise of God and their obedience to Him. Oh, we don't like that word obedience, do we? on. You want a miracle from God? You need to be obedient to God. If life has pushed you too far, I'm telling you, it's time to rise up with an attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. An attitude where you are fully persuaded. Are you able to say, folks, God can rescue me from cancer, but even if he does not, I will not bow down. God, you are able to restore my marriage, but even if he does not, I will not bow down. God will cause me to prosper. He can bless me, but even if he does not bless me, I will not bow down. You might expect a fully persuaded attitude would cause a breakthrough. I'm telling you, these boys, they were fully persuaded. We will not bow down. You might think here tonight that it would cause a breakthrough. It would keep me out of the fire. Not necessarily. When Nebuchadnezzar heard Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand up in defiance of him, oh king, we do not need to answer you this way, but God will protect us. And even if he does not, we will not bow down. That's easy to shout about, isn't it? We like to hear that. But guess what? Nebuchadnezzar turned up the pressure. Listen here, boss. I told you I'm not working on Sunday. I'm not going to miss church. You're going to turn up the pressure. Come on, family members. Why don't you come to the party? Don't you love your family? They're going to turn up the pressure. Whatever it is you're dealing with, folks, you can stand for God. You can take a stand. You can come back to church and tell folks, I told them this and I told them that. And you go back to work the next day and they crank up the pressure. I'm fully persuaded. Well, we're going to see. We're going to see. Hey, boys, stoke that baby up 7 times hotter. What? Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't back down either. He turned up the pressure. Things got hotter. Things may be heating up for you in your life right now. Maybe it's your job issue. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a custody battle. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's mental health. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's financial health. But maybe you took a stand for God, but things seem to get worse. Maybe you found yourself staring down a fire. A fire like nobody's ever seen before. Maybe you thought God would save you from the fire. Maybe you prayed God would save you from the fire. Pastor, I don't understand. I'm asking God, whatever it is, and you're telling God, God, whatever you got to do to me, just don't put me in the fire. Now, you're not telling God that. You're not saying, God, don't put me in the fire. But your boo-hooing and crying's telling him that. Come on, we've all been there. Right? We've all been there. Maybe you prayed, God save me from the fire. But the fire is still burning. God, don't get discouraged tonight, folks. Because when the devil turns up the heat, God does too. Come on. I say God does also. Let me tell you something. There's promise in the fire. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you. Aren't you glad you know who your creator is? O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Hear who you are tonight, folks. I don't know about you, but that's he speaking to me there. Are you claiming that tonight? You are mine. Listen, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. There's promise in the fire tonight. God isn't going to save you from the fire, folks. He's going to bring you through the fire. I said, God will not save you from the fire tonight. He will bring you through the fire. When you walk through the fire of cancer and sickness and divorce and financial ruin, you shall not be burned. Nebuchadnezzar made the fire so hot, it killed some of his strongest soldiers. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. Fire is deadly for some. But you will not be burned. If you are fully persuaded of the promises of God, you will not be destroyed. You expect a miracle, folks. Hallelujah. You expect a miracle outside of the fire. You thought God would save you before things went too far. But let me tell you something tonight. Your miracle is in the fire. Hallelujah. Just like these three Hebrew boys, there is protection in the fire. When Nebuchadnezzar threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, their chains broke off. Jesus walked with them, and they did not even smell like smoke. When you walk through the fire, chains break. Come on. You may have really went through some things in your life, earlier in your life, walking for God or whatever. Amen. And you, if you're honest with yourself, you will admit, amen, I didn't like it at the time, but I'm a better Christian today than I ever was. I said the chains will come off in the fire. Satan has a will. Satan has and will use your situation if you let him, folks. Hear me tonight. If you let him to keep you living a small, contained life. He don't want you to be a great witness for God. He don't want you to teach home Bible studies. Amen. He don't want you to do things for the house of God. Amen. He wants you to live in a little contained container, and he's all right with that. But no longer. God wants to take some chains. He wants to break them off in the fire because God has a desire for you. He wants to use you. The promise of Isaiah 43, Jesus will walk with you in the fire. Whatever the trouble or trial you may be in, you will be able to sense his presence. Amen. Jesus will reveal himself in the fire. When you're in the fire, amen, when you come out of there, you watch for deeper revelation. You watch for a deeper worship experience in your life. God wants to promote you even after the fire, folks. Amen. He says, if you can make it through the fire, if you can trust in me, I want to take you to greater things. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they exited the fire, they received a promotion. King Nebuchadnezzar, hear me, he saw the goodness. He saw the favor of God on their lives, and he promoted them in this worldly kingdom. You see, the fire may have been your greatest test, but on the other side, you will see a promotion. Amen? You will experience spiritual promotion because fire always refines. It makes you better, folks. You may also encounter physical promotion in your job. Amen. You experience greater favor with your family members and your friends. Others will recognize the goodness of God through your faith. Amen. Folks, it is the fire of life are threatening you. You need to take heart. The miracle of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a miracle for you. Be fully persuaded. Believe the promises so that when the pressures increase as we stand here tonight, believe the promises, folks, so that when the pressures increase, and they will, you receive protection and promotion. Hear me tonight, folks. Don't give up because your miracle is in the fire. Is there some apostolics that want a miracle here tonight? Do you need a miracle? I want to open this altar tonight for some people that say, God, I'm right there, God, but I'm not going to fear the fire. God, I don't like all the things that are going on. It's got me out of my comfort zone. We are creatures of habit. Come on. We don't like change. And right now, things are up in the air. We don't like it. But you got to say, God, I'm not going to fear the fire. Because, God, you may not keep me from going in there. But if I go in there, you're going to be with me. God, I want my miracle. I need a miracle. I need some deliverance from things. God, I want you, Lord God, to whatever, if it takes me going through the fire, to get these chains broken in my life. I'll do it, God, because I know you're with me. Is there some apostolics tonight that need a miracle? This altar's open. Can you come up here and talk to God right now? Say, God, I'm going to trust you like I've never trusted you before. I'm going to believe in you like I've never believed in you before, God. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, apostolics.